This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, we hear from Chris Bartle, who will be presenting the ICP symposiums in California and Florida this winter. But first, we have a training tip from Tammy Smith from Area 6. Hi, Tammy. Welcome back to the program.
Hello. How are you?
Well, you have a tip for us this week, don't you? A training tip for getting horses back into work.
All of our horses go into a field for a couple weeks or a couple months. And then as they come back into work and we've hacked them for a few weeks, then I take all my horses, even the experienced ones, and we start them back into the round pen and work on groundwork. And this is just really to get them really connected back into me, and each of my riders does it as well. But really just trying to disengage their haunches, move their shoulders around, get them to where they follow you and pay attention to you while you're in the round pen. It's easy, you know, once you kind of send them out into the field to their horses again, and you always want them to be able to feel that way. But once they get back with you, you want them to feel like a partner again. And so I typically do this once a week, but when they come back in from work, I do that for a few weeks.
So this is really like tuning in or getting them to tune in to you again, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And connecting with them. So how close would you work with them then in physically in the round pen, Tammy?
It's like a Pirelli stick, they call it. And so I want them to always understand that I have my space and that they have their space and that I can go into their space at any time. And they can't go into my space without being invited. And so, initially we just work with them at the walk and get them to where if I go to walk to the right, they disengage their haunches, and I go to walk to the left, they disengage their haunches. And at the advanced level of that, I'm not even 10 feet. I'm about 10 feet from them. So because their eye is on me, they're constantly, really focused on what I'm doing, what I'm asking of them. And to start it off, you would be very close because you would walk towards them, and then you would touch them on their hock to ask them to disengage their haunches. But then the advanced level would be that you just walk to the right, no matter how far you are, and they disengage their haunches. And so I like to kind of play, even out in the turnouts with them, I kind of like to play with them a bit that way.
Do they have any tack on at all, a head collar or anything?
No.
They're completely free. And so what gates will you work at them? You mentioned the walk then. Do you build up to the trot and the canter? How much do you do?
Initially, the walk to teach them. And then, you know, when you said, do they have anything on, they do have a rope halter on to teach them, to train them what it is, because you need to have some pressure if you just walk into the round pen and start doing weird stuff and you don't have any kind of control of your horse, then you might end up getting yourself hurt. But the advanced level, like, I don't need anything on them. And eventually what we end up doing is we ride them bridleless and in the round pen, and then we actually take them out of the round pen and teach them to ride without a bridle out in the arena.
Do you do this with horses of all ages?
Yep. Yeah, we do. We do it with all ages. And the reason why is because there's so much power in the connection with a horse, and there's so much power with teaching them how to stop off your seat and your leg. And I really feel like it's the way to teach riders that don't necessarily have the same feel that you have had, you know, over years. I just said, you know, Jimmy Wofford said once, you need 10,000 hours in the saddle before you become good or get good. And I feel like I've been in the saddle like 100,000 hours. and I still feel like I'm learning. And so I really, having the horses in the round pit and being able to really do horsemanship type exercises with them, it really gets not only you connected with your horse, but it really develops their sense of how you're the person that is leading them. And they can really, they learn to trust you. And it's a really amazing thing to see when they really feel like they can trust you. Because I feel like horses are defensive and acting out when they don't feel like they have somebody that they can trust.
Does this groundwork involve jumping as they become fitter?
Yeah, I don't do a lot of the jumping in the round pen, but once it's in the advanced stages and we're riding without a bridle and being able to do everything without a bridle, we do jump without a bridle as well.
And for how long a period of time, once they come back into work and you've been hacking them, would you do this round pen work, Tammy?
For a couple weeks. So the first week we just kind of get them back into, it's a couple days a week, and we just get them back into the, you know, getting their muscles to move. I mean, obviously the hacking has helped with that as well. And then the second week we really just, especially the horses that are already trained, and all of mine that I have currently have already been through this. So they get back into it really fast. If it was a horse that I was just teaching, it would take a month at least to probably be able to get them out into an arena to where you could safely jump, without a bridle. I think it would probably take about a month.
Great advice for getting them back into the work, because I know the season's over now, but it's not long before we start picking up the reins again, is it?
No, it's not. It's right around the corner. I can't wait. I'm already going stir crazy.
Well, thank you so much for our tip this week, Tammy.
Yeah, thank you.
British coach Chris Bartle, who is also the national team coach for the German eventing team, will be visiting the States next January to present at the two ICP symposiums in California and in Florida. And he joins us now to talk about his philosophy as a coach and also explain what he will be bringing to those symposiums this winter. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Well, it's a pleasure to have the chance to chat with you, Chris.
Well, before we discuss your coaching today, let's start with a bit of background, Chris, and perhaps you'd explain the system you came up through with the British Horse Society.
Yeah, well, of course, as you mentioned there, the British Horse Society has played a significant part in my coaching development. I started as a teenager in my mother's riding school. Yorkshire Riding Centre here is my mother's idea. It dates back quite a few years now. It started in 1963 when I was just a kid in shorts. But I came up through that riding school situation through the British Horse Society's qualification system, and that went parallel with my interest and activities, as it were, as a competition rider, both in terms of dressage and then eventing. That's the path I've followed in my coaching career, you might say.
Well, although you're a national team coach, you do still coach at all levels, don't you?
Very much so, and I have come through, as I was just intimating there, my coaching career, my competition riding career, went side by side, hand in hand. I mean, I was coaching, teaching beginners how to do riding trot, teaching very novice riders in competition world, long before I got into the higher echelons of championships and Olympics and so on. But even while I'm at, I got the chance to train and work with such riders, such Olympic riders and championship riders, I still am involved even now with teaching novice riders on their own horses. I can't say now that I work in the, as I used to do in the riding school, with riding school horses and teaching beginners how to do riding trot. So I've moved, you might say, on from that, and so has Yorkshire Riding Centre changed a bit. So now my work is with all levels of rider and horse, but focused on competition at some level.
Well, of course, since you began in the 60s, coaching has evolved today and become more sophisticated, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's sophisticated. It'll become a bit more sophisticated in some respects, but at the same time, nobody's told the horse that, and the horse is still the horse. So I would say in my coaching ethos and style and so on is to try to keep it simple, really. I think one can overcomplexify things. My mother gave to me, you might say, an interest in a detailed analysis of what makes up a horse, what how a horse moves, how a rider interacts with a horse, and that interest in the detail remains with me, even though I'm really still trying to, as I said, keep the system as simple as possible, both for the horse's sake as well as for the rider's sake.
And we've also seen a growth, if you will, in cross-pollination among coaches and nations, haven't we?
Yes, it has. And if you take a step back and you see the development of national styles of riding, you might say, one could previously say there was a German style of riding dressage and show jumping, which was different from an American style, which was different from a British style, and so on. Now, because of that sort of cross-fertilization, the trainers, the riders, are much more in interaction with each other across the globe, then there is an obvious coming together. So one sees in Germany a much lighter style of riding than perhaps one saw back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, maybe even. Equally, you see some aspects of the German system and German style of riding in maybe in America or certainly in England, in GB as well. So that is an ongoing thing as we coaches and, of course, the riders travel the globe and pass information along in a coaching sense, but also absorb ideas and different riding styles by watching, copying others as we compete and travel around.
Let's talk about your success with the German team, Chris, and how you've influenced them.
The eventers at the time when I came on board had gone through a spell of not being so successful, so they're very open to new ideas. That of course always helps when you can join a team in a trough rather than on the peak of a wave. Secondly, I found the riders, a little bit, I would have to say, and be honest with you, surprisingly open to everything that I said and ideas that I brought across. Obviously, Germany has a very solid base to its riding and to its riding schools and to the way children learn to ride and so on. And that disciplined approach and that disciplined way of riding is something which, as a coach, you find it, if they're obviously open, and 90% of them were very open to being molded or changed in a slight a different direction to maybe where they were, but started from a very solid base to their riding. And yes, one had to be a little bit, in a step-by-step way of bringing across my ideas. I certainly didn't come in saying what you're doing is all wrong and this is how you'll do it and so on. That's not my style. I tried to emphasize the positives, work on the weaknesses, point them in a new direction in terms of their style of riding cross-country especially, work on their dress as it related to their cross-country and jumping, and obviously try and tie all of those three phases, those three disciplines of our eventing sport together and emphasize that link, you know. So obviously as we went along, the fact that it worked for some became an advertisement to others, and therefore I became more and more accepted in terms of my ideas. And we can't just sort of sit back and say, right, that's it, because nothing stands still in life, and there's always new kids on the block and new people coming through and so on. But it certainly helps that they're very open to it, much more so than people perhaps imagined at the start, you know.
Well, this will be your first time at an ICP symposium, Chris. So what do you anticipate you will bring to this audience?
Yeah, I see my role and my chance really in coming to the ICP symposiums is to bring across my ideas on coaching in general, my ideas on specific coaching ideas that relate to the dressage, the show jumping, the cross country in terms of our discipline eventing, that those will relate to pure dressage and pure show jumping is obviously clear. I'm not coming across to say this is how you should mould the ICP in the same way that the British Horse Society examination system has been moulded over the years. That's not my expertise. I think it's great that there is a program underway over your side, and I would encourage that. I think it helps riders, certainly over here, to know that when they go to their coaches, there's a basic level of ability that's been demonstrated in order to get the British Horse Society qualifications and so on, but it will still boil down at the end of the day to each individual and how they individually present their ideas and their own individual coaching style, which we all know from years doing this, you take a bit from here and a bit from there, but it is still your own personal way of doing things, and that shouldn't change and won't change, I'm sure.
Well, over the years, Chris, the sport has evolved considerably around the world. What do you see as the biggest changes?
Yeah, clearly the change in the format from to the shorter format has made quite significant changes. I would say some positive, some negative, and I'm not in favour of the sport going even shorter. I think what's the essence of eventing, the essence of the old-fashioned horse trials, back in the days when we rode 4.5 minute steeplechase roads and tracks and then the cross country and so on, stamina was and fitness training was a very important aspect of it, and the technical elements of the dressage, the show jumping, the cross country were less than they are now. Now, what I would say about eventing if it is currently in the shorter format is it's equestrian triathlon. Although there is still a wish, I think, on the majority of people to keep the influence of the in the end result as it is and was. In other words, that the cross country should be the most important element within the end result, balanced by the show jumping and the dressage. I still strongly think that as we go more technical, we don't, in my opinion, want to shorten the distances still further and lose that type of horse, that first of all, and go more towards jumping, breeding, and so on. I think we need to keep a specific identity to an event horse. And the other aspect, I think, is about horsemanship. And you ride a cross-country course at the four-star level to 12, 12 and a half minutes, as we did in the past, then you really had to feel what you had underneath you. You had to not just ride on the clock looking at your watch. You had to have a feeling for what your horse could do. And that is an aspect of eventing which I wouldn't want to lose. The fact that it is, the technical aspects, the dressage test is so much more demanding. The cross-country course with its technical elements and so on is much more demanding. The show jumping is technically more demanding. Perhaps the fences are not as hairy, scary on the cross-country course as I remember in what I call the black and white days. But there's still plenty to go out when you see the big four-star events. And I think we're in a pretty good situation at the moment with the balance as it is. But I know from hearing discussions there is some pressure from some sides to make the cross-country a little bit shorter and have more emphasis on the show jumping or the dressage. And I suppose I'm a bit of a traditionalist and would not like to see that myself.
How would you summarise the impact that the changes have had on coaches?
Yeah, because the demands of the dressage and the show jumping have increased, then a lot more time is devoted to that. And that's understandable. But at the same time, I think there's two sides to the dressage. One is dressage training in the true sense of the word, because dressage comes from the French word to train, and therefore dressage can be done on the hill, it can be done out in the field, it can be done on the roads, it can be done on the tracks, it can be done in the arena. Dressage doesn't always have to be in a 20 by 60 arena. And then of course you have the dressage test, which is something which one has to rehearse in the same way as one has to rehearse a dance or any sort of movement and such. That has to be done, but that is only a small percentage of the work done in the dressage. So I'm very keen on dressage out and about and not in the arena. And then that ties in quite well with the jumping, and the jumping is only as good as the dressage at the end of the day, is the expression I would tend to make. And of course we all know that a good jumper always makes the job easier. A horse that isn't bred to be a jumper or isn't as careful naturally requires even better presentation to the fence, even better canter, even better balance on the part of the rider, and so on. We can't just rely on the horse's innate jumping ability. So that I suppose is how it's somehow changed the coach's emphasis, you might say, and of course it's to get that balance right, and that's one of the messages I would hope to bring across when I come over.
Well, we look forward to seeing you over here at the ICP Symposiums. Chris, thank you so much for joining me this week.
My pleasure, and look forward to coming over. I'm looking forward to leaving snow in Yorkshire and stepping out of a plane to glorious sunshine in US of A in January.
And the dates for those symposiums are January 16th and 17th at Galway Downs in Temecula, California, followed by Longwood Farm South in Ocala, Florida, from the 19th to the 20th. You can find more information on the website by clicking on the link on the front page at useventing.com. And a reminder that if you're not planning to attend the convention, you can follow all the news on the website. You'll find a link on the right-hand side of the front page to the convention. That, of course, takes place in Fort Worth, Texas, from December 3rd through the 7th. This podcast is available for download as a free subscription from the iTunes Store to your smartphone podcast apps. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.